Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another podcast episode. My name is Alicia Gogan, the host of the Glow Up Secrets podcast, where I help you expand your mind and become more self-aware so that you can glow up into the best version of yourself. Hi, how are ya? When I say hi, how are ya, I always think about Jeffree Star, which, good Lord, that man is a mess. But when I say that, just know we don't really support the man them. We support saying, hi, how are ya? How is everyone? I am so glad to be back recording now. You probably listened to last week's episode, and if you didn't, please go listen to that. But I pre-recorded that episode, so technically it's been a little bit since I've been recording for the podcast. I recently just came back from Mexico. I was depressed for an entire week as soon as I got back home, and I actually did film an update video and how I was depressed and how I got out of this deep rut as well. If you're interested in that story and tips if you are currently going through some depression, then please go watch my YouTube video. It is my latest one. You will know. You will see it. So I hope everyone is having a great middle of January, I guess. I'm recording this on the 17th. It's coming out in a few days. So, I mean, we're making our way, okay? It is not the best times right now, at least when it comes to the weather in Toronto. We just came from having a few days of sun after not having any for a week, but we are back to having zero sun for, I don't know, probably like another 2 weeks, which is crazy. And I'm on a high floor in my condo, so we're having really foggy days. So literally as soon as I wake up and look outside, it's pitch white. Nothing, can't see anything out there. I literally am living in the clouds. So catch me living in the clouds for the next 2 weeks, I should say. Please send all of your vitamin D3 drops to my doorstep. That would be lovely. But at least I have some content to be making. And one of the content pieces is today's episode. So we're going to be talking a lot about relationships today. I don't know what the title is going to be yet until we get into lots of questions and all the things that we're going to talk about today. But it's going to be about relationships. And I would say that the questions that you guys had asked, it's basically going to be focused more to romantic relationships, although there is a few questions that I got that pertain to just like friendships and stuff in general. Also, these questions that you guys asked, they were very repetitive. So this is not just like one somebody's single personal question that I'm going to be like giving advice on. Y'all are going to want to know the answer to some of these questions. I promise you, you guys asked really good ones. By the way, don't forget to follow me on Instagram for when I post a Q&A for these episodes. My Instagram is The Glow Up Secrets, along with all my social platforms. Now, before we get in to the goods of the episode, let's talk about the quote of the day. And this quote, I think, is perfect for today's episode. I have read about attachment styles and just, you know, how the way that you've grown up kind of affects the way that you show up in relationships, this, that. But it's always a good reminder to read these. And maybe for you, you've never heard of this, or you're like, oh my gosh, this is the first time I'm hearing this. This is so me, blah, blah, blah. So I found this quote, this Instagram. Actually, it's like a carousel post. I'm going to read it all, though, because it's really good. From the Holistic Psychologist. I'm sure most of you guys know who this girl is. What is her name? Nicole LaPera. She wrote the book How to Do the Work. And that book was in one of my like book self-help recommendation YouTube videos. I love that book. Definitely go get that. It is linked in my Amazon shop if you want. By the way, guys, I am writing a book. I did mention that in my YouTube video, so I feel like I have to say it on the podcast if you didn't watch that video. I am writing a freaking book. It's so amazing. I don't know. I'm going to drop more details soon, but I'm writing a book. It's probably not going to come out till like the end of the year because it takes a long time. I'm working with a publishing house as well. But yeah, girlies, I'm going to be a freaking author soon. Yep, we love that. Anyways, very casual book drop there. Okay, back to the quote. So she posted, many of us are consistently looking for evidence that our partner will abandon us or hurt us in some way. Here's why. Let's swipe. When we're anxiously attached, we struggle to feel safe within our relationships. We're fixated on what our partner is thinking, doing, or how they may hurt us. Next one. While we fear abandonment, on a deep subconscious level, sorry, she said unconscious level, kind of the same thing though, we actually fear emotional intimacy. Next one. Being truly seen, heard, and witnessed brings up fear or panic. This is where patterns of sabotage come in. We fear intimacy, so we engage in behaviors that block intimacy. And isn't that so true? It's like, why do I keep self-sabotaging or sabotaging relationships? Why do I keep getting in the way of it when I tell myself that I really want it? Well, there's a few reasons why. Next one. Sorry, that was just my commentary. I have to speak on everything, obviously. She says, for example, push-pull behaviors. So that can be like shutting down when somebody gets close, which I've done that before in many relationships, even though I would say, I want this deep connection with men or with a man, whatever. And then the one time that a man actually comes into my life and he's like fully present in there, I shut down when he's wanting to, like when he's there for me to open up. Another one is seeking affection or attention outside of our relationship. Another one is putting up a tough front, which is like a defense mechanism. Another one is stonewalling, so giving the silent treatment, even though you literally are saying that you want attention and affection and you want this relationship. Next slide says, when we don't have true emotional intimacy, we seek evidence and consistent reassurance that we are safe. And our partner's mood or emotions dictate our own emotional state. And oh my gosh, is that ever true? I used to always like be emotionally affected. Like my day was either good or bad depending on how the person I was with felt about me or felt about life, like their mood in general. And like if they accepted me, if they're showing me a certain amount of affection or attention, and if any energy was like slightly off, I would automatically have like the worst mood and worst day ever. Next slide, she says, we are okay only if our partner is okay. And how our partner feels about us becomes how we feel about ourselves. Our well-being is dependent on the emotional state of someone else. Sorry, emotional state of someone outside of ourselves, which is what I just said. Next one is, this feels like riding an emotional roller coaster, which absolutely, yes, yes, yes. Our anxious attachment patterns can also drive us to choose partners who are emotionally unavailable, which creates a deeper fear of abandonment. And then the last slide is, this becomes a cycle. And the cycle looks like this. I look at my partner to reassure me, and then they reject my need for connection. And then I'm abandoned and I withdraw, and then they feel abandoned. And then my core belief is I will be abandoned and this is confirmed. So like she said at the beginning of the post, this is an example of somebody who has an anxious attachment style. There's other attachment styles, like ones where you disassociate, ones that are really push-pull. There's a many different ones. And if you really want to understand your attachment style better, there's a book called The Power of Attachment by Diane Poole. That's a really good book for you to understand yourself better. But I wanted to shed light on this quote today because this is not what a healthy relationship is and should look like. And this also doesn't mean that you have to be perfect and, you know, be fully trusting and whatever. But if you find yourself in these examples, like, no wonder you struggle with being in relationships. And if you do struggle with these examples that you've read or you've heard me read, it's helpful to go to the root, which might be fear of intimacy. Maybe you didn't even ever learn how to have a proper relationship. Now, it's not like you would learn how to have an intimate relationship, like when I'm talking about like sexual, obviously, from parents, but you do learn how to have an intimate, deep connection with people based off of your first relationships that you've had in childhood, which are usually to like from your parents or people that have raised you. And if those relationships weren't nurtured, if those relationships weren't healthy, if they were neglectful the way that mine was, especially from my father, no wonder you experience these types of feelings in relationships. And for me, like, I personally believe when it comes to dating men, because I am a female and I am straight and I date males, the way you learn how to have a really deep connected relationship with the man is first from having that relationship with your father, having a relationship with your father is very helpful for when you grow up and you want to have a relationship with a man. It's almost like that kind of sets the foundation. Now, a lot of us, many of us, have not had those healthy relationships with our fathers, and we have to learn how to heal those wounds so that we don't get into this anxious attachment style. And for me, over the years, I have slowly worked out of this anxious attachment when I have certain fears, when I let another person affect my mood, when I'm doing push-pull behaviors. I become very aware of when I'm in this state and I sit with myself, I explore, I remind myself that this is just an old pattern, an old attachment style. I don't need to feel this way. I don't need to feel super insecure. I don't need to second guess or constantly get reassured by my man in this relationship. And it takes a lot of time, but I just want to remind you that if you're in this anxious attachment style or any attachment style, really, you don't have to think about it as if you're doomed or if you're screwed. If you know you find that you're doing certain weird behaviors in relationships, or you know, you've thought back to the old relationships that you've had and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I think I've heard this somewhere and I feel like I just believe this in myself. Sometimes you just ebb and flow as well through different wounds. Like, sometimes, like my past relationship that I was just in. It was such a healthy relationship for me, but definitely there was times where my old wounds would come back up and I would kind of get into that more anxious attachment style, and I would be presenting some of those examples. And then I would have to realize, like, no. Like, I don't have to shut down. Like, there was this one particular point in my relationship where something had happened when we were being intimate, and it was like so awkward for me to just like have to deal with. And it was honestly just a miscommunication, but I started to instantly shut down and I just wanted to like just be done and like run away. Like, I literally like told him, I'm like, I just want to like get my clothes on and run away. Like, I can't right now. And I was just like naturally, like, I was used to people just maybe like letting me shut down, but he was like, no, like, please don't shut down right now. Like, don't run away from this. Like, let's talk about it. And I was so resistant to letting him in and like facing this awkward, weird thing that had just occurred right in the moment, because I never knew how. And I just like didn't believe that anyone would show up for me that way. And I was like fighting him, not physically, but I was like, no, I just want to like run away from the situation. And he was like, no, like, please, like, let me, like, let's have this conversation. And I was like, you know what? I know that this is an old part of me right now coming up. Like, let me just do what I know that I need to do to allow myself to grow in this relationship. Let's have this conversation right now. And we communicated in that moment, and it was such a miscommunication. And I instantly felt like I was healed in that moment, because I didn't run away from the situation. And he was there and he was like holding space for me to heal and like express myself, and we worked it out, and it was great. It was a great end of the night, let me just say that. Okay, so anyways, I don't know, I digress from all that. That's a lot, but I thought that was a great quote, and I think that will definitely be a little bit of a theme going into this episode today. Okay, I just realized that I think that I need to change the formats of what I'm talking about. So what I have for my podcast is I wanted to like talk about the quote of the day and then talk about what I'm into or what I'm loving and what I'm not into. But I feel like I should reverse that and start with what I'm into, what I'm not, and then do the quote of the day, because the quote of the day just like brings you into like all the questions that you guys had. But then sometimes I don't know if it's going to correlate. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out, guys. Okay. It's a new year, new me. I'm trying to figure it out. Anyways, whatever. What I'm into. I'm into Greek salads right now. Okay, so when I was in Tulum, we went to this place called, what is it called? Ilios or something? I don't even, Ilios, I think. It was so amazing, so fun. And I ordered a Greek salad with salmon. I literally love Greek food, but I got a Greek salad with salmon. I think salmon pairs so well with Greek salad. And it had tomatoes, cucumbers, something else, but it didn't actually have lettuce. You know those Greek salads that don't have lettuce? Well, I guess Greek salads don't actually have lettuce, I don't think, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, whatever. With feta, and I opted out of the olives because I freaking hate olives. I'm so sorry if anyone's Greek and you're probably like, girl, you are a disgrace. Anyways, I decided to make my own. So what I've been doing now, I got cucumber, which I really don't eat a lot of raw vegetables. I eat really healthy. You can go listen to the health podcast that I did last week, but I eat quite healthy, but I've never been one to just like cut up vegetables and eat them raw. Like my mom used to always do that. And I used to be like, girl, what? Or like dip them in anything. Like I'd rather just eat chips with dip, but you know, whatever. So I got cucumber. I've always never really liked cucumber as well, because I'm like, I'm literally chewing on water. I'm not really understanding what this is supposed to be doing for me, but I'm on a cucumber kick right now. So what I've been doing is cutting up cucumber and also grape tomatoes. I'm obsessed with grape tomatoes. And I've been doing bell peppers as well. Usually I saute bell peppers for my breakfast, but just raw, all of them raw. And then I get feta cheese and I make my own dressing. I put extra virgin olive oil and I put balsamic vinegar. Just like, I don't do half and half. I put more balsamic vinegar than I do olive oil, because I find the oil is a little bit like too much. It like, it's too strong, tastes too oily. Balsamic vinegar. And then I added like this seasoning, this like salad seasoning. But one of my friends said to put lemon pepper seasoning in it, which I'm going to try for the next batch. And I just like made a big batch of that. So like every day I've been having cut up vegetables with feta and putting the balsamic dressing on top. And then I've been pairing it with, this week I made grass-fed beef. So I've been having it with like my grass-fed ground beef and avocado. And it's literally chef's kiss. But I also just got salmon today. I'm going to have that with salmon. I don't know. I've been loving it. And it's obviously so healthy. So if you need another food idea, that is definitely for you. And it can last all week, right? And you just add it to like anything that you're eating. All right, what I'm not into, this is funny. It's the fact that I'm not tapping into my creative side when it comes to dance and listening to music. Like I was thinking about this the other day. Why am I not going? Okay, actually, hold on. I go out sometimes with my friends. And I'm not really a club girl anymore. Like I used to go to the clubs and stuff. I don't really go that often. But like, let's say like a dinner restaurant where it turns into like a party kind of thing, or just a lounge bar vibe. I love to go to like hotel bars and like live my Gossip Girl era. That is literally going to be my thing this summer, by the way. Just know, catch me at every freaking hotel bar. I really love Louie Louie at the St. Regis Hotel if you live in Toronto, as well as D Bar in Yorkville. But just catch me at every freaking hotel bar, okay? Don't be asking questions. Just whatever. Just mind your business. But anytime I go out to places, I sometimes go with my friends who maybe don't have the same taste of music as me, and which is fine because like not every place I'm going to have, like they're not going to play my favorite type of music. But I don't know, like why am I going to all these places where I'm not listening to my favorite music? Because when I go out and I want to have a good time and dress up and like if I'm having a few drinks, I want to listen to my type of music. Or even when it comes to like concerts or festivals and stuff, I feel like over the years, I've always gone with my friends, which sometimes I have friends have the same exact music taste as me, but sometimes not. And I'm just over not going to the concerts that I want to go to, or not going to the festivals that I want to go to, or seeing artists, or just listening to the music I want to listen to when I'm out, like when I'm actually doing something that involves me being social. So like for this summer, I really am going to go to any like artists that I'm really obsessed with. If they're coming to Toronto, I'm going to see them. And if I have to go by myself, I'll go by myself. Like truthfully, Central C is coming to Toronto in February and their tickets are sold out, but I can easily just find one. And I'm really thinking about just going by myself. Although one of my friends, Kendra, her birthday is on the day that he's coming. So, and she really likes him. I don't know. We'll see. But festivals as well. Like I don't know if anyone has, if you guys go to festivals, I'm sure some of you guys do. You know, when you go to festivals with friends and you end up going with people who want to see artists that you don't really want. So you're half the time, or half the artists that you're seeing at festivals are literally not even people you really like. And it's just like, why am I here? And what I've actually been doing recently, because I go to festivals a lot and I think they're so fun. Recently, I've been having boundaries and having a voice, and I'll tell my friends, like, we can go, but just know if it comes to a point where we have an artist that is playing at the same time, or you don't want to go to an artist, that is totally fine. But I'm going to go to this artist and, like, I'll be good on my own, girly, and we can, like, meet up afterwards. Like, that's totally fine. Like, I'm just no longer, like, not letting myself have a good time, or, you know, going to the pool parties or, like, day parties, like Cabana Pool Bar. Cabana Pool Bar is not, like, the coolest thing ever. If you know, you know. But, you know, they have all different types of events, and it's like, why am I only going to the ones where it's like certain people are going, but it's like actually not even the music that I would enjoy. Like, I want to go and dance and maybe sometimes be listening to like soca music, or I literally love Kid Laroi and Central C. Like, not, I don't know, people around me, not a lot of people really like their music, but like, I want to go to a Kid Laroi concert, and I want to go to Central C concert, and Justin Bieber, I have a newfound love for him again, and I want to see him again. Like, why am I not going to these things? Also, with like dancing and music, I feel like lately I've been trying to let myself dance more and just have a good time. I used to be obsessed with dance, by the way. Like, back in the day, I used to have full-on dance performances, and I'm a good dancer, guys. I'm going to tell you this right now. Okay, I'm a good dancer. I'm not a dancer. Like, I'm not a girl who goes to the club and like twerks, mainly because I don't have an ass that could twerk like that. But I'm not like a twerker girl or like a TikToker dance girl, even though I love doing TikTok dances. It's really fun. But I know how to move. Okay. And I think isn't it the best when you go out and you're having like a few drinks and it's like a day pool party and you find a sexy guy and he knows how to move and dance, which is very rare, by the way. Oh my gosh. Like, it is unfortunate to dance with a guy who does not know how to dance. Oh my gosh. But I digress from all of that. I love to dance, and I don't know why I'm not doing it more. And I feel like this summer it's going to be the year of freaking dancing everywhere I go. And I want to listen to the music that I want to listen to. And also, when it comes to music, like, I want to carve out more time to listen to music and explore music and create playlists. Like, why is it that I do not have proper playlists? Why is it 2023 and I'm still using Apple Music and I still have like all of three playlists when I actually have really good taste in music? Now, you might hear me just say that I like Central C and Kid Laroi, and maybe you're like, what? How? But I have so many interests when it comes to music. So, and I post some music sometimes on my stories and you guys are like, where's your playlist at? And it's like, I don't know, girl, it's coming. And like, sometimes I have these eras of like, I have, okay, I think I do actually have ADHD. I don't know. I go on a million tangents, but I'm just excited to talk about a million things. Okay. But I go through eras mainly because, I mean, there's a few reasons why I like to rebrand and go through a million eras every single month. But also, I'm a female and I go through a cycle. And so depending on which phase of the cycle I'm in, sometimes I'm like in my dark feminine era. Sorry, dark feminine energy era. And when I do that, I have this, I'm in this like femme fatale music genre, and I actually have a story highlight on my Instagram of playlists for your dark feminine energy if you like want to activate that and just like get in that vibe. So like, I have a lot of different eras and music tastes, and I'm like, why don't I have more playlists? So anyways, hopefully I will carve some time out to do that, because I'm really not liking the fact, or I'm just like not liking the fact that I'm realizing that I haven't really been tapping into that and just like letting myself enjoy that part of me in life, you know? Okay, let's get into some of the most common questions that we have going here when it comes to relationships. And like I said, more so the romantic, but we have a few ones that could, you know, apply to all relationships. Also, like I said, I am a female girly and I date men. So my advice is really just coming from that. And again, this is just my advice, my opinion. You can take it or leave it. Whichever you like. Okay, so first question is, how to date outside of dating apps? It's so funny because I kind of like half answer these questions. I just like put my like main theme of what I would answer on my Notion template when I'm reading this. And I wrote, good question. I'm saying good question because honestly, a lot of my relationships have come off of dating apps. And I don't think dating apps are a bad thing. People have so much beef with it, but I do think that you need to have a certain mindset when going into dating apps in order for you to have a good experience, but how to find or like how to date outside of them. Honestly, the first thing is to like be open to chatting with people in real life. And I literally mean people in general. It doesn't mean men. I feel like when we think about dating outside of dating apps, we think about, okay, I'm going to get my best dress on. I'm going to go to the St. Regis Hotel. I'm going to look super hot. I'm going to have an espresso martini. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to look around. I'm going to be just like waiting for my Prince Charming to walk in. And like, that's how I'm going to meet my man. And maybe that will happen. Or maybe it'll literally be you going out, I don't know, maybe to a class, to, I don't know, maybe even at work, right? And you're having a conversation with a girl, let's say a girl, or, you know, somebody who is older than you or younger than you. Maybe they have a brother or a sister or a friend of a friend that is looking for somebody. Or maybe they have a brother or sister or friend of a friend where they have an invitation and they have a plus one and they're like, yo, like, you want to come hang out with my friends? We're going to this show downtown. And, you know, it has nothing to do with the fact that you're going to go date, right? But you go out and then friend of a friend has a friend and you meet somebody that way, you know, or you just open to a conversation. Like, sometimes we're so strict with how things should be and how we are going to meet the love of our life that it's like you're kind of not living in reality, right? And I'm actually having a video come out. So when this podcast episode comes out, it'll be on Thursday. So Friday's episode is actually going to be about like how to stop planning your life. And that video really has this, you could apply it to dating as well. But I really think you need to just be more open to receiving. There's another tip when it comes to a lot of like feminine energy, like dating coaches that I've listened to over the years. They say like when you're wanting to, you know, find a man or just like be in the energy of just receiving and like bringing men closer to you and just like dating and stuff, be open to anyone. And this doesn't mean you have to date a bum on the street, right? But if your energy is very closed off, like if you're walking down the street and you're not looking at anyone and you're very closed off and you're mad and you're whatever, even if you're not mad, you're just like very closed off. Like, how do you expect somebody to be able to like make eye contact with you to know to come up to you to have a conversation and spark a conversation? And again, it's less about that person coming up to you and having a conversation. You might not want to even, maybe you're not interested in that person because you're not attracted to them or they're not your type, like whatever. But it's just the fact that you want to be in the energy of being open to receive. You want to be magnetizing. You want to go out and have fun with your friends, even if it's a girl's night. Do you know how magnetizing that is for a man to see a girl just being so radiant and so magnetizing? And again, maybe that guy is going to come up to you, maybe not. And maybe you will want to talk to him, but maybe you won't. But how is it that you're going to meet somebody when you're closed off, when you're living at home, when you're doing nothing, or when you're going down the street and you're so closed off? So be open to life. Be open. You have no idea where you could find somebody. Literally none. Next question is how to move on from toxic people / situations. So I don't know if you mean you're consumed by like from a certain toxic person or situation and you just can't get over that situation, or you're still like attached / entertaining a toxic situation / person. So one thing I'm going to say is learning like to like move on or let go. I have a podcast episode. It's literally my first ever episode that I made on my podcast channel, I guess. And it's all about letting go and moving on and forgiving. I think that's a really good episode for anyone, honestly. But if this is just a situation where you're just consumed by a toxic situation or a person that has happened, even though like you're no longer like having conversations with this person or it's no longer like prevalent in your life, but you can't get over it, I think it's so important for you to realize that you ruminating and thinking and being consumed about something that has happened in your past is robbing you of your joy and your life and your future that you can have if you decide. It's not your fault that things happened in the past, but it is in your control whether you keep focusing on that thing or not. And do you not want to have this beautiful, amazing life that's not toxic, that's free from, you know, crappy situations and people in your life? I'm sure you do. So it's going to be really up to you whether you want to let this thing consume you over and over and over again. Focus on the positive. Focus on the future and the life and the people that you can meet that it's going to be so much better for your health. And when it comes to if you are still attached to something, ask yourself what need of yours is still getting met by being attached to a toxic person. Because you can best believe you're still gaining something out of being attached to a toxic person or situation. And it's important to think about like a plan on how it is you are going to move on from a toxic person slash situation. Now, I have one more question at the end about toxic like people. So I think I will answer more of that question then. But asking yourself what it is that you're actually gaining from still being attached to this is going to be a very big game changer, because then you're going to be able to learn how to meet your need a different way. We all have needs that haven't been met, and usually we get them through unhealthy behaviors or unhealthy relationships, because that's how we learn to meet our needs all the way from childhood. And so life is really about learning how to meet our needs in better ways and healing from our wounds. Next question is, when do you know it's the one? Or like, when do you know he's the one? Let's say I'm going to use he here. And this is a good question, right? Because I feel like a lot of us always ask that and we're kind of confused, especially if you have like an anxious attachment style, like we were talking about in the beginning, or you have these like weird, you know, you're just kind of confused. Maybe you're young, maybe you're, you know, you've gone through so many relationships and you're like, what do I know? What do I, blah, blah, whatever. And this is what I think. I don't know if you're ever really going to fully know. And I don't know if you really need to fully know. I don't think we need to put so much pressure on knowing, like, is he the one? You know, because the thing is like, we transform and we change and we grow and we evolve so many times throughout our lives. So you don't need to have a definitive answer for anything, honestly. But here's a few things to know if this person is for you, at least. And this is what I do to kind of really know and gauge if this man is like really for me. Can you see yourself having kids or a family with this person? Like, could you see this man and be like, he would be such a good father. He would be such a good role model. And now I know not everyone wants to have kids, but this is something to really think about, right? Is he trustworthy? Is he reliable for you in a relationship? But also for me, when I think about this, for my children, for my family, can I trust that when things get hard, you're not going to bail? When things are hard, you're not going to break. And that's totally fine, by the way, if your man goes through a period of like depression or breaks or, you know, financially stressed, that's totally fine. I don't mean it like that. But like, I need to be with a man who is resilient and he's going to get the job done. Another thing is like, are you comfortable with this person? Can you be your authentic self around this person? Now, I want to be careful with saying this, because a lot of the times as to why we sometimes think we can't be our authentic selves is us. It's like our own insecurities where we block ourselves off from really being ourselves fully around somebody else, allowing somebody else to fully see us. Sometimes it's us and it's not them, and they're wanting us to be our full authentic selves and we don't allow it. But are you keeping small, knowing, and like, you really know that this person like wouldn't accept you if you were actually yourself? Then maybe that's not the person for you. You want to be comfortable with this person. You want to be, you know, your ugliest self on the days that you can't get ready and you can't look amazing and hot and beautiful. And you know, you feel like you're not judged by this person. And also, this person can be themselves around you. You know, when you're like with a guy and he's like being silly and stupid and he's just like acting like a child sometimes and he's playing with you and he feels comfortable like kind of like letting that side out. I think that is such a good indicator as to like, this person can absolutely be the one, or like be with you. Like, you know, this person is comfortable with you and he's not just putting up a front. Like, I don't want to be in relationship with that, like with a person like that. And I don't want to be that myself in relationships. Isn't it amazing when we are just like our best selves and we're so hot and we're just determined and, you know, we go out and we just like kill it and we're like a power couple and amazing. Yeah. But like, I also want to just shoot the shit with you. And I want to like just be stupid and be able to make mistakes and you laugh with me and it not be such a big deal and you not like judge me and I'm not judging you. I feel like I am somebody who's like the least judgmental person, and especially when it comes to my relationships, like, I'll accept you at your freaking worst. Sometimes it's like not good. I've worked on that, but like, I don't know. I would want to be treated like that as well. So that's a very good indicator of like, if you guys can be like that in a relationship, like, oh my gosh, God bless you both. Also just knowing like, do you guys have the same like goals in life and future? Now, you don't have to be in the same industry. You don't have to have the same exact goals. And I think actually, in fact, it'd be probably better if maybe you didn't in some ways. But I just mean, like, if you're dating somebody who literally doesn't see marriage in his future, but you do, why? Like, no, then no, that person's not going to be for you. Or they're very iffy and they really don't know, and they really value freedom, and they're kind of like this go with the flow person and you're not, then no. Why are we wasting our time with people who we literally know and they're showing us in front of our face that they are not on the same level and the same like a page as us? Or if this person is constantly talking about how he wants to live in Spain after a few years and he wants to settle down there, and you like cannot, like honestly cannot see yourself living there, then maybe that person is not for you. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have conversations and you can't learn and maybe you will change, but again, it's you got to think about, what is this person thinking about his future? Like, what does he see himself doing and being, and where does he see himself living and spending his time? And can you see yourself doing the same thing? I think those are some really important things. I'm sure there's a bunch more. We can get into it in another Q&A, but I think those are some really good things. Again, things don't have to be perfect, right? You don't have to be the same exact person. I think opposites definitely can attract, but it's to just kind of be aware of like who you're dating. Get to know the person that you're dating. And I don't know, I think being comfortable with that person though is like so amazing. And that's definitely something that I'm going to be looking for my next relationship. Next question is, how to deal with libido and singleness? Do you abstain completely? I can't give up sex. I literally do not miss casual sex at all. Like literally at all. And I had a hookup video on my YouTube channel go pretty viral about like hookup culture and the truth about it. And so if you're interested in that, you can totally go check that out. But I just personally think that there's so many ways in which that you can still have this connection with your sexuality, sensuality, and other ways than to have meaningless sex. And I'm not saying that this person is having meaningless sex. Like, see, this is the thing. I think there's honestly a minority of women who can do casual sex, and like they say they really need it, and like when they do it, it's like amazing and they have no attachments. But I really, really do think majority of us, we either lie to ourselves or we get into entanglements and we want more than what ends up happening. And casual sex can be very messy and not. And half the time, it's just like we still actually don't even get pleased the way that we want to, because we literally don't even know our own bodies. And we're not sleeping with men who are having that deep, intimate connection with us. I think that intimacy with a man is beautiful. And I'm not somebody who is like a virgin and or like celibate. Like I don't even want to say that I'm celibate, but I do not have casual sex. So unless I'm in a relationship, I am not having sex. Like I won't do it. Even when it comes to like small little hookups with guys, I don't do that. I don't have texting buddies. I don't have casual little guys in and out of my phone and to go meet up with. I don't do that anymore. I used to. I wasn't like this big hoe, but you know, I had little situationships here and there, and I realized that that was not serving me. I didn't love that. And I didn't learn anything more about my body being with men who didn't care about me. And so I just feel like I don't miss that. But with like how to deal with libido, if you have a high libido, which I think I have a very like balanced libido, I have. And what I mean libido, if anyone doesn't know, it's a sex drive. It's completely normal to not always have this high sex drive. You might have a peak in your sex drive depending on your cycle. That's for me, like I it's like clockwork. And so when that happens, I have a self-pleasure practice. So I mean, you know what that means. And I love that. Like I think I make it a whole thing. Like I put on like dark feminine energy music and just like get the vibe right. And just, you know, we got the toys going on, we got the things going on. And I don't know. I've been doing that for so long that it's just, I know that it's like, I'm feeling as if it's awkward to even say, and it's not, like it's truly not. Honestly, one book to read is called Pussy, a reclamation. That book is amazing. Every woman needs to go read that book. But having a connection with your body, and first of all, having a self-pleasure practice is so important for you to even be able to show up in an intimate connection, like relationship with a man. Sex is so much better when you know what you like and what you don't like and what's going to turn you on and what not. And I mean, obviously there's only so much you can learn by yourself, but I do think it's important that when you do have sex with a man, it's with a man who actually cares about you and wants to learn about like your body and everything, and you can have conversations. And I know these conversations can be hard and uncomfortable and weird, but finding a man who actually knows how to have that conversation with you is so transformative. It's amazing. But back to the question when she asked, how do you abstain completely? I'm not really abstaining because I have a self-pleasure practice. Another thing that I want to talk about, you don't have to actually have self-pleasure practice and like masturbate is what I'm saying, to tap into your pleasure centers. Yes, you have a huge pleasure center, which is your pussy, but you have other ones too, like touch and smell and taste and listening to music and moving your body, eating food and actually being present and letting yourself indulge in a beautiful, yummy meal, going outside and just basking in the freaking sun when the sun does come out, letting yourself live life without putting so much restrictions on things. Those are all ways that you can tap into your pleasure centers. It doesn't have to just be like literally you masturbating. And quite frankly, I don't think it should. So I challenge you, if you struggle with having high libido and you are somebody who you're telling yourself, I can't abstain from sex completely. You don't have to abstain from pleasure, but make it a thing. Like, I think sometimes I get in these ruts sometimes too, where it's like self-pleasure practice, oh, it's kind of boring. Like, you know, like I'm really horny right now, like, but it's kind of boring to just like go masturbate. It's like, whatever. Make it a thing, like literally make it a whole night. Like actually set time the same way that you would do in a relationship too. Like make it a whole thing, like put on a cool, like find a playlist that really gets you in the mood, or whatever gets you in the mood. It might even be just your thoughts or like touch, or just there's like sexual meditations that you could be doing, like all that kind of stuff. Get the mood right. Put a candle on. Have a bath before you do that. Find what works for you. Get your oils going. Get your favorite toy going. Like, I don't know. And obviously, it's going to depend. You really need to have that relationship with yourself, but make it a whole thing. And you won't feel like you're abstaining from anything when you're not having sex with someone. I don't know. In my personal opinion, I think casual sex is a no for me. And I only do that when I'm in a relationship. And I think that it's deep and meaningful. And even when I'm in a relationship, I still make sure to keep up with my self-pleasure practice, because it's not just about having it with a man. It's about connecting with yourself and your pleasure centers. And honestly, the release of energy and the power within having an orgasm as a woman is truly amazing. And I think it's actually the best feeling in the whole entire world outside of anything else. And sometimes when you have sex with a man, you won't have an orgasm, because the illusion that a lot of us have is that you can have an orgasm through penetration, and only a small percent of women can actually have that. And usually it's like clitoris stimulation, and you can definitely have that with a man, but sometimes it might not be that, and then you don't have an orgasm. And I mean, I'm sure you know, and a lot of your other girlies know. I'm so sorry if somebody's listening to this and you are not interested in this conversation, but honestly, like, I'm 27 years old, like, we need to have this conversation. I'm so sorry. And if you don't hear it from me, you're gonna hear it from someone else, and I'd rather you hear it from me. But sometimes you won't have that, or having a self-pleasure practice can help you have that orgasm with a man, because you know what will really get you turned on, and having patience with yourself in your own bed, you'll be able to do that furthermore with a man. So I don't know, we can have another conversation about that, but I don't think that in terms of like the question of how do you abstain completely, it's never abstaining completely, because it's not just about having sex with somebody else. It's you, yourself. You, like, this is your pleasure center. It's not somebody else's. Next question is, how to stop second guessing someone's love for you? Well, I think this goes back to what I was talking about in the beginning as well. Like, honestly, it's more of a trauma response, and you have to kind of work through that. One thing has helped is to, for me, is to communicate with the person that I'm actually in a relationship with and let them know that I've actually experienced this type of attachment style, this anxious attachment style. And, but not in a way of being like, hey, I have this anxious attachment style, so you're going to have to deal with the fact that I'm going to second guess your love for me every single day, and you're going to have to reassure me. Like, no, that's not fair to that person, but it's also to be aware of, like to tell them, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm going to work on trying to reassure myself that I know that you love me, and I'm going to remind myself all the ways in which you show up for me and all the things that you do to show me your love, and to remind myself when in times of, you know, anxiousness, and, you know, maybe if thoughts are coming up, I can have conversations with you instead of acting really odd and picking fights with you and doing this push-pull relationship because I'm just having this trauma response. That's very, very important. And I've had those conversations in relationships, and it's been very beautiful. Now, I'm going to say that you're not always going to find a guy who understands this and can have healthy communication styles. And if that's the case, I'm not saying drop them, but, you know, it's okay to have this type of attachment style as long as you're working on it, and being with somebody who can handle that is going to be very huge. But one thing I'm going to note is, like, if you are second guessing somebody's love for you, like I said, you have to communicate with them and, you know, reassure yourself outside of them having to reassure yourself, but don't put your trauma on them, like, completely. And what I mean by this is, I'm just thinking about watching Teen Mom Leah, this girl Leah on the show. She really struggles with believing that people would show up for her and love her. And then she's constantly telling her boyfriend, like, why are you so nice? And why are you, I just don't believe that you are really this good and that you're showing up for me. And it's obviously her insecurities coming out, but it's to the point where it's like, you're going to literally end up pushing somebody away if you just constantly second guess their love for you. When it's like, I'm literally showing you all the love. I'm showing you every single day. I'm texting you. I'm being consistent. I'm giving you no reason to second guess me. Like, if they're acting in that way, I think it's doing your relationship a disservice by you just sitting there and being like, I don't believe that you love me today. Like, no, it's your responsibility to work on that. And I think the best way is honestly looking at your relationship as a whole. Does this person show up for you? How are they spending their time? And how are they spending their time with you? What are the things that they're saying to you? You know, what, you know, depending on their love language, like, you know, the gifts that they're giving you, the acts of services, the words of affirmation, the, all of those things. Like, look at how this person is showing up for you and realize, like, yes, this person really does love me. But honestly, learning how to love yourself is going to really help you as well. Next question is, how to stop feeling bad about someone not wanting you and seeing them go for someone else? You know, I could give you this really healing answer, but I'm not going to today. And the answer I'm going to give you is, you need to back yourself. Why would you want to be with someone if they don't want to be with you? Why are you going to feel bad about yourself when someone has decided to walk away from you? And they, for some reason, does not matter what reason at this point, they don't see your value, your worth, or whatever. They're not valuing you, treating you the way that you deserve, etc. You're going to sit around and be sad and cry about someone not wanting you and obsessing over their life and who they're with and who they're picking? No, 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 no. You need to start to have some more self-worth, confidence within yourself. And if you don't have that, let's build it. What are you doing on your day-to-day basis that will help contribute to your confidence as a person? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you getting up and are you doing your work? Are you going to the gym? Are you eating healthy? Are you moving your body? Are you dancing? Are you connecting with friends? Are you having a good time? Are you becoming magnetizing? Are you letting other people choose you and pick you and love you? Are you loving yourself? Are you talking to yourself nicely? Are you protecting your peace? Are you watching people that uplift you? Are you educating yourself? Why is it that you are so focused on somebody else that's not picking you? Focus on yourself. Back yourself. Love yourself. Stop worrying about somebody who is picking somebody else. Who cares what they are doing? Next question. I regularly feel lonely because I want worthy friendships and deeper connections. Okay. I understand this to a core because this has been me and it's been hard to connect with people and I want deep, worthy connections, deeper connections, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll tell myself, I don't have any deep connections and nobody can get deep with me and I can't find friends who are anything other than surface level, blah, 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 blah. And yes, that can definitely be true in some cases. And it's hard, especially when you're interested in the topics that I'm interested in and you listen to this podcast. Like, you're a deep girly. I get you. I understand you. From one Scorpio to whatever sign. I totally get you. You're a deep person. But honestly, sometimes you have to start with surface level relationships. It goes back to just being this, like with the dating thing. And being a perfectionist in a way. We have this idea of how our friendship should start and be. And, you know, especially when you want a certain type of friendship or you want a certain type of relationship. You have these certain preferences on how things and people should be and show up. But the truth is, you might need to have one small connection that's going to lead you deep into your relationship. You're not going to just start out by meeting somebody off the side of the road and having this deep, meaningful friendship or relationship. Relationships take time to build, which means you have to be open to having them in the first place. And I'm gonna bet right now that you might have been somebody who throughout your life, maybe you've been a little bit closed off to relationships, or maybe you've been jaded from friendships and you've seen how, you know, crappy friendships have worked out in the past and you haven't, you know, met the right people. So now you're like, oh, you think everyone is the same and then you don't give people like chances. But it's like, if you don't give people chances, you're never gonna actually be able to have the chance to build a deeper relationship. And I know that because that's been me. So I really think that sometimes you have to start with that surface level friendship and see where it goes and be open. Be curious. Let people into your life. And if you find that you've done that before, okay, well, what people are you starting these relationships off with? Because another thing for me, it's like, I tried to have these surface level friendships thinking that we would go deeper from people who literally didn't even live the same life that I did. They were like party people. There were girls who literally weren't interested in sitting around listening to podcasts and reading books. Okay, well, no wonder I felt disconnected from these people. So start going to places where you know if you were to spend more time building a connection with these people, you would actually have the same interest. So obviously, maybe when you're going to workout classes or like yoga classes, I go to a women's circle and these ladies are literally interested in the same things that we are in, like that I'm interested in. Literally on Monday night, we were having conversations about what it means to have a purpose in life. And we got deep down into living in different dimensions and different realities. It was so deep. But that only happened because I put myself in a place where other people are going to want to have these conversations. Stop putting yourself in places where people are like, you can't expect to go to the club and find love. You know that little Usher song? Is it Usher? I don't know. You can't find love in the club. I don't know who says that, but it's kind of true, right? It's like when I go to the clubs, I'm not expecting to find my man, you know? Although I still think that I'm going to be like, I think Central C is going to be my husband and I don't really, you know, whatever. But you know what I mean? So be open to friends. Last question is how to stay clear of toxic exes that can't let you go. And then they followed up by saying, if I only attract toxic men, does this mean that I'm toxic? And I'm going to give you another non-healing answer. And the answer is yes, girly. I'm sorry, but if you are attracting toxic people, there's a part of you that's toxic. It is. Like, there doesn't make any sense why you'd be attracting toxic people. Another thing is like, my question to you is, why do you still have contact with toxic people? Because I don't have toxic relationships in my life because one, I've seen my patterns and I've said absolutely no, and I'm going to be a better version of me, and I'm going to be a better friend, and I'm going to be a better girlfriend, I'm going to be a better all of these things, you know, I'm going to take care of myself and love myself and heal my wounds, which automatically make you go in the direction of having friendships with people who are not toxic, because you're not having these surface level friendships, you're not caring about egotistical things, you actually care about having deep important conversations with people, and like automatically that's like not toxic and you're healing things and whatever, and those people are healing too. You like automatically just start magnetizing people like that. But also, it's not guaranteed that you're never going to come in contact with a toxic person, or especially a toxic man. So my next question is, where's your boundaries? Because you don't need to entertain a toxic person. You don't need to entertain the guy that keeps living in your phone and literally won't take you on a date. Why are you entertaining that when you know damn well this person's not going to take you on a date? Like, stop answering the text messages. Stop answering the Snapchat like responses, the story responses. Stop following the guys. Stop scrolling through TikTok, being obsessed with these hot guys who literally only care about other hot girls. Like, what is going on here? Yeah, you're toxic. So that's my answer to you. I'm so sorry. I love you. I love you. I love you so much, but you are. And that's fine. You know what? You're going to work through it. But honestly, boundaries and healing your own traumas is going to be huge for you. Okay. Those are all the questions that I'm going to answer today. Listen, I got so many more questions, but what I'm going to do, I think, for the next episode relating to relationships is talk about families, like family dynamics, because you guys asked a lot about codependency with like mothers and fathers. I've had a lot of issues with my mother and her dealing with her addictions and toxic environments and things of that. So I think I'm going to kind of gear it more to like families and friends like that. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I had a lot of fun recording this episode. Like I keep saying, I will be recording the episodes for February. I am trying to get everything together. I'm also going to be hiring like a part-time assistant to do edit and sync up my audio and my visual for my podcast, and also chop my videos into short form pieces of content because I'm a short form girly. I'm also going back on TikTok slowly but surely. I am overwhelmed. But if you know the brand, meaning me, The Glow Up Secrets, Alicia Gogan, and you are somebody who knows how to edit short form content and like pull from my long form, and you're just like, I don't know, you're really into the digital world and your assistant, whatever, please reach out to me and email me. I am going to be posting on my story about that. But I need a glow up girly. I need help. And if you're interested in helping, that'd be amazing. Obviously this would be a paid thing. Because the girls need to get paid, but yeah, let me know if you're interested in doing that. And don't forget to follow me on all my platforms, The Glow Up Secrets, and I have my journal guides. Don't forget. Also, Amazon book recommendations. Everything is going to be linked in my bio. You already know, linked in the bios. We got it. We're good. Okay. Love you so much. And we'll talk to you in the next one. Bye.